Well, good evening. My name is Wayne Dale and my wife Shauna, and thank you so much for the privilege to be able to minister tonight. Thank you, Luke. This morning, just a powerful reminder of the gospel. I appreciate the heart. Nate, thank you for your transparency. When you see Nate, you know he shares it all. His heart is on his sleeve, so really appreciate just that. I didn't know that there was a dress code, though, so next time I'll shave my head. I'll probably look like a Buddhist monk, Asian-wise, but, you know, I mean, that's a challenge. Well, this evening, turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 12. Might be a little bit of an unusual passage for missions, but as we looked at the church serving the Roma people and also in Romania, but also in Pinglao, in Thailand. There's a local church in Phoenix, Arizona, in South Scottsdale, but also First Baptist. And we're going to see that the church is the environment for missions. And one of the thing about the church is that it's very diversified, but yet unified as well. And I'll be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. And please follow along as I read. It says, For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. So we open in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for this text. Lord, I just pray that our hearts might be united. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is given to us at the time of salvation. And I pray that you would truly be preeminent in our lives and help us to just consider missions from the environment of the local church. And Lord, I pray that it might not just simply be an arm of the local church, but it might be each individual to understand the Great Commission has been given to them. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we look at the background of 1 Corinthians 12, it is within the context of the purpose of the... It is in the context of... It is the background of 1 Corinthians 12. And we have spiritual gifts. Paul is expressing and sharing earlier in the chapter about spiritual gifts that were given for the benefit of the larger group. And they were key in providing the foundation for the evangelical spread of the gospel to the known world. We understand that when a person comes to Christ, a few things happen. First of all, their basis, the foundation, the object of their faith, Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, is worthy of their trust. But they're also given spiritual gifts. And there is a variety, if you will, of different gifts that are mentioned. But also understanding is that there is a diversity within unity, within this unified group. And while having varying gifts and being different people, we submit to the body to express our unity in Christ and obey the will of Christ in our lives. Similitude and equality aren't the same as unity. Sometimes we hear the words about DEI and diversity and equity and inclusion. But within the context of the local church, what we need to understand is that individuals have differing and varying gifts. And we are different people. And it is important because as we think about missions, especially global missions, and even though we're in Phoenix, Arizona, it begins in the local church. Within the environment of the local church, the value, as we see, working within the diversity, within unity. And let me explain just in a moment. First of all, I want to show some pictures as well. I have some pictures here. Here you might see the Berman kids, Kate and Derek and David. And this is back in 2007 when we left. And as we think about unity, you know, some of these individuals, Mike and Sherry Vanek, we have some of the ladies there. We have Ma'am, Nate Ma'am, and Mike and Matt Meng, Matt and Jenny Meng. And this group, as we were a group who were working and serving within the local church. And then we have Nate and Mam here, and they came out and visited us in Phoenix, El Tote. So I'm glad that you got to learn a little bit of Spanish as well. But what brings us all together? Because really, we are different individuals. But yet, because we find unity in Christ, we have the Spirit of God residing in us. And so as we look at the text, it's important to understand that there is diversity within unity. As we look at verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." For as the body is one, thinking about the unity that we have in Christ Jesus, referring to the local church and the ministry there. If you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are part of the church. But then there are many members, the diversity, and all the members that are that one body being many. There is a diverse, and Paul here is referring to the spiritual gifts, but as we think about the individuals that have those gifts, our one body. If we think about the local church, you know, if you look around, some of you might look, oh, it's similar. Some of you are older, younger. Some of you have different jobs. But there is a diversity even within the context of First Baptist Church. If we go to Thailand, we're going to see a lot of Thai people. If we go to Romania, we'll see a lot of Romanian people. But guess what? There's going to be a variety of different people. I appreciate Nate mentioning just some of the different, the makeup of that church. And as we look at this, they are one body. They have unified because of Christ. And it doesn't happen naturally. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. When a person places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms our lives. Let me tell you a secret. Did you know that some of the people around you might not wanted to have sat next to you? You know, I think, oh, no, you know what? But there's no place else to sit. They sit by you. You know, maybe they root for a different sports team. Maybe they look different. Maybe, you know, they have different tastes. But you know what? The submission to the Holy Spirit, and maybe think, oh, well, I have to do that. But as a believer, our lives, as we submit to the Holy Spirit, we begin to behave in ways which are contrary to our natural nature. And therefore, as within the context of the local church, we demonstrate the unity in Christ. And as we even think about mission, it is important as we understand that unity is not the same as similitude and equality. It's not that we all look alike. However, we do believe together. That is an important part because as you think about the local church, has a constitution, has a belief statement. But it doesn't mean that you have to all believe the same, all look the same, all have to eat at the same restaurant. And true unity within diversity cannot exist without the personal submission to the Holy Spirit to change us. See, oftentimes we gravitate toward those who look like us or talk like us or are like us. I remember there was this tourist who came to this bench and he was looking for directions. He sees these two guys sitting there in the park. He says, "Parlez-vous français?" The two guys look at each other. He says, "Sprechen Sie Deutsch?" "Ni hao." "Annyeonghaseyo? Habla el español?" He goes through like six different languages. And they're like just doing nothing, looking at each other. The guy finally gets frustrated and turns around and leaves. The one turns to the other and says, "You know what? Maybe we should learn a foreign language." The other guy says, "Why? It didn't help him." My whole point is that as in diversity, as we think about the world, as we think about churches, understanding is that ethnically, culturally, economically, people, there are going to be differences. And there has to be a submission. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we, if you will, like one another. But that is a transforming power and reaching out to others. It's important to also, as we keep on, to understand that individual believers are part of a larger body. Verse 13 and 14. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And here this is a parallel clause. Paul repeats and rearticulates the fact that the Holy Spirit is the primary agent by which each person becomes a part of the body of Christ. And that spirit baptism contradicts any post-conversion spirit baptism that others may claim. You do not come to Christ by being baptized after you receive Christ. At the moment of salvation, when you place your faith and trust in Christ, to understand that it is the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion, places you within the body of believers, often referred to as a universal church. But Paul identifies two distinct groups here in this text, in this verse, that were separated in Corinthian culture. First of all, they were separated by ethnicity. And we have here the Jew and the Greek. Remember, in the first century, it was the Jews and everyone else who wasn't Jewish. And then social classes, slave or free. So you're dealing with a cultural context of people who look different, who spoke different languages, and understanding that there were also some economically not at the same level. But within the environment of the local church, it works because there's a submission to the Holy Spirit. And there's no favoritism nor partiality before God. It doesn't matter your ethnicity, your background, your age, your spiritual gift, your social status. You exist to serve within the local church. And when you submit and serve within the local church, it begins with understanding the Great Commission. Because as a believer in Christ, and I never carry my phone, but I just wanted to read this. This is from FirstBaptistOfElyria.org website. It says, "We believe that the true mission of the church is the faithful witnessing of Christ to all men as we have opportunity." That includes women as well. But understanding your primary mission, if you will, as a believer in Christ, once you come to Christ, is the opportunity to tell others about what occurred in your life. You know, we often have a lot of fear telling others, asking them, "Do you believe this?" and to tell them about the gospel. Well, if we think about personally how we came to Christ, it is a story, and each person has a differing story of how they came to Christ. Some were adults, some were children, some it happened in Ohio, some in other countries. And as we look at what takes place, we understand that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us into that larger body. And even within the local church, it is important because then we serve. Sometimes we learn how to effectively share the gospel with others. Sometimes we go on missions trips to different places. We serve. We begin to learn the capacity. Because within the local church, if you don't per se like one another or get along with one another, how are you going to get along with unbelievers who don't have the Spirit of God? I mean, it's hard living in today's society. There's a lot of antagonism of individuals who don't know Christ. But it begins with starting to learn about how to love someone who does know Christ. But what is the commandment that Christ gives us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? The person who lives right next to me? All those we come into, who we encounter out in the streets, who we work with. I'll be honest, there's a lot of people who we know, who we work with, that we probably don't like. But how do we show love to them? How do we show the gospel? How do we talk to them about Christ? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to transform us. And to understand that we are part of that greater mission, if you will. That's why Christ kept us here on earth. If we continue on, it says the individual parts are not greater than the whole body. And I just kind of give this absurd pictures here because as we think about parts of the body, they're all different. And the visual imagery of the personification of various parts of the human body. Paul illustrates the Corinthian church with a personification of some of the body parts because they were incorrectly self-promoting. What is more important, the nose or the ear or the foot or the mouth? And it is vital for us to understand that there were divisions in the Corinthian church over social status. They wanted to be first. They wanted to be visible. You know, that's what culture teaches us. You know, you have to be more prominent. You have to be more recognized. But with the Spirit of Christ living in our lives, it's not about what we do. It is as far as leaving a visible representation of ourselves. That is not the goal. The goal is to be able to share Christ with others, to be able to help them to see who Christ is. And sometimes that means in our behavior, even to external stimuli. If we think about circumstances, did you know that you can have a gospel witness when you fail temptation, when you mess up? Too often we want to be remembered for, you know, those great victories. But when we submit our will to the circumstances that God places us in, maybe there's a loss of family, you know, and you're devastated emotionally. But when you respond in a biblical manner, sometimes that's within that context and environment, you have a great opportunity to witness to Christ, for Christ. But you don't do it just yourself because, oh, you know what? Look at me. Look how well I can witness. It is understanding that the parts are not greater than the whole body. You just don't do it to say, oh, look, I led them to Christ. You do it because you are part of a greater body, which is the church. And people naturally gravitate toward those that look like themselves. So, you know, if you think about the church, and sometimes there's cliques, you know, this is the ear group, this is the nose group, you know, this is the nose group really smells, and then you have the foot group. But we have these kind of divisions among us, and really it's not about the divisions. It's about the unity in Christ of being part of a greater mission. And it is the mission of the church to be able to evangelize, to share the gospel with others. And each of us individually have that capacity, but we don't do it on our own. You know, oftentimes when a person comes to Christ, they're a new child. They don't know what to do. Or sometimes maybe you don't have the ability to connect with someone, to share the gospel with them. But you know someone who maybe, oh, they work at the hospital, or they're a carpenter. They could share the gospel, or they'll connect. And it's important to understand that the individual parts are not greater than the whole. And understand that even as a mission individually, it's not simply about, okay, I'm comfortable with this person. Sometimes God is going to take you into an area that you're uncomfortable with. Maybe at the Mexican restaurant, and you don't speak any Spanish, but you can be friendly. Maybe it's the Middle Eastern family. Maybe it's the African black family. Simply going outside and getting to know them. And I think that God can work that and use you for the blessing of the whole body. Mature believers, you know, they should reach out to others. Different. And as I think about the parts, the individual parts is important as we look at that. It's as we think about, oh, these are important, the hands, the feet. But they are simply vehicles used to be able to minister the gospel. If we continue on, diversified gifts benefit the whole body in verses 17 to 20. Diversified gifts benefit the whole body. And what that means is that not everyone has the same gifts. As we think about at Corinth, languages that are used. There's some study that spoke about the language, often in Hebrew, and then was it transferred to Aramaic, and Aramaic was the language, then it was the teaching language into the other languages. But what we understand is that there are diversified gifts benefit the whole body, and that each individual within the context of the local church has a value to be and has the potential to be able to share the gospel. And sometimes they might not always do it the way you want it. They might not always look like, oh, you know, that this is how a believer should look. Sometimes Christians, after you've been a believer for a period of time, you forget what it means to be forgiven. And as we look at salvation, as we look at those who are comfortable with, it's important to understand that outside of our sphere of influence, the diversified gifts, God brings people into your lives that aren't always nice, clean, perfect. You know, we think, oh, that person would make a great Christian. But really, every unsaved person would make a great Christian. And those individuals that God brings into your life, sometimes we're uncomfortable with. But I want you to understand that diversified gifts benefit. And so God has placed within the local church a diversity of gifts. Each of you have different opportunities in which you can share the gospel. Maybe you're not the one, oh, I couldn't go door to door, or I couldn't do that. But we all have the calling to be able to share the gospel or talk about how we came to Christ. And I think the value, as we understand, is that the diversified gifts, it benefits the whole body. The local church is encouraged. And when we hear about someone who submits to the Holy Spirit, to be willing to behave in a way which is really unnatural to us. If I can use the context of a husband and wife. You know, there's some men who don't like to change diapers, who don't like to do dishes. And when the Spirit of God gets a hold of them and says, okay, I'm going to behave contrary to my nature and behave like that. You know, after the wife, you know, gets up off the floor in shock, you know, she understands that, hey, what is going on? This is unnatural. But it's also unnatural for us to share the gospel, to talk about spiritual things. But God has placed within you spiritual gifts and the ability to share the gospel and to talk about it. It doesn't just simply mean, okay, this is how you do it. If we think about the churches that we've seen and the people, what the blessing is, you have a local church where you're able to talk to other people, to hear about what is taking place. You have ministries among the ladies. You have ministry among the men. You have ministry among the seniors. And then the young people within the Christian school. You have opportunities that God brings into your life. And when we hear about people who behave in ways that sometimes are contrary, Nate talked about, yeah, I was fighting it. You know, Luke Warner from a little child, you know, understanding the preparation. Myself coming in and being a part of First Baptist Church. I was working in the operating room and I'd been reading 1 Corinthians 1:25. And then to submit, to think about, okay, guess what? Church planting, working in churches. And sometimes we have our own plan. We have our own idea of how ministry and how people should come to Christ. But it doesn't always work that way. And when we submit our will, our plan, when we give financially, when we are willing to go, when we talk to maybe that person at the grocery store who we don't want to because we're in a hurry, that could be a connection. And sometimes what we do is we tell people to believe this, pray this prayer. But if we think about the fact that as Christ, as he talked to others and helped them to point them to Christ. And we're living in the U.S., it's becoming a generation that does not know Christ. They didn't grow up singing hymns. They didn't grow up in the church. They don't know that Jesus Christ is real. They don't know about the gospel. And when we're confronted with these changes, we're like, I don't like change. But what I want you to understand is that there is going to be, Paul emphasized the diversity of gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit, not emphasizing the people who have the gifts, especially in the light of the entire assembly. As we think about the ministries of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it is not natural for us to simply go out and share the gospel. In fact, that's one of the greatest fears that most believers have. But what it is a requirement is that when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, to understand the unity and diversity, that there is a variety of different people, even within the church, but also outside the church. It prepares us to help minister to people who are outside the church. There's a lot of people in the Elyria, LaGrange area who are going to look different from you. Maybe they're from a different ethnic background. Maybe they're from a different occupation. Maybe they're from a different country. And you're going to be like, you know what, I don't have anything in common with them. But the Spirit of God may prompt you to talk to them. You know, how hard is it to invite someone to church, okay? Or maybe to get to know them. And even culturally to ask questions. But we gravitate toward those people who look like us, think like us. And God is going to, and I'm thankful because I was born in South Korea. And as I mentioned before, I grew up in upstate New York. There's a lot of Italians, so I learned to talk with my hands. But I also worked in a Chinese church. I worked in a Korean church. I worked in a Spanish church. So I learned to eat spicy foods. But growing up in those areas, as I think about, I was looking at where Luke is, working with marginalized people. I understand that. I can relate to that in different contexts. And what often happens is that people don't talk to other people who they don't know or are unfamiliar with. But you as a believer in Christ, when you submit to the Holy Spirit, you can be the first one to say hello. Or even simply learning a word in a different language. thank you. Most of you know gracias. You could, you know, merci. Try to learn thank you in many different languages or just a word in a different language. I spoke with a fellow tonight and learned how to say thank you in Choctaw. But when we are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to use us in the local church, personally, it's going to transform the whole church. And I'll be honest, it was exciting when we started back in 2007 and those who have gone out of First Baptist Church. I hope you're excited to understand that there are people going out of First Baptist Church and serving in missions globally, regionally, nationally. But it doesn't matter if individually you aren't sharing Christ or willing to share Christ with your neighbor, with your coworker, your family member. And so just in closing, as I think about this statement, God brings the people who make up the body of believers. It says, the key statement, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased or wanted. You know, there are many members or one body. It is the parts that fulfill the roles that benefit the body. If there's one thing as we look at tonight, it is important to understand that the church, it's not going to look like the way you want it to. People have often said, well, you know, I want the church to look this way. Or, you know what, there is no perfect church. They will say, you know, if you go to that church, then it's going to be imperfect. But as you think about International House of Pancakes, you know, you think, okay, what does that have to do with the church? But God has brought a diversity of generations, ethnicities, and personalities we must use to our gifts to serve God rather than ourselves. And I always wonder, why do they call it International House of Pancakes? Because you know what? There's no international types of pancakes that are there. You know, there's no Pinoy pancakes that are Filipino. There's no, in Korean, there's a pancake called Pajan. Or African crepe-style pancakes, or cachapas that come from Venezuela, they just serve pancakes. Maybe you get some multigrain ones. But each church, you know, will look a little different based upon its demographic, where it's located at. And my question to you is, will you allow God to use your abilities? And how are you personally fulfilling the Great Commission? You know, this is a missions conference, and it's exciting to hear about what is going on globally in some of these different areas. But let me ask you, what is God doing in your own life? How is God using you to spread the gospel? And it begins simply by getting to know a new person. If I were to ask you, in the last week, how many of you have met a new person? Okay, I see. You know, five or six of you. You know, I would encourage you. And you think, well, within my circumstances, I don't meet a lot of new people. But maybe, you know, you need to go outside of your routine. Oh, man, I can't go outside of my routine. But to meet someone new, to be able to talk to them, to have the opportunity. And you'll find that even though they look different, even though they might be from a different background, from a different city, heaven forbid they might be from Michigan, but you know what? You're going to find that you might have the opportunity when you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit to talk to them about Christ or maybe about what God is doing in your life. And I encourage you, simply ask them questions. You know, you don't have to jump right into spiritual things, but find out where they go to church or what they believe. But when individually each person is fulfilling the Great Commission, it affects the entire body. And there's an excitement. And you're going to see the work of God because it's going to, you'll see it in the ministries and you'll see more individuals going out and saying as a career, you know what? I want to go into missions because even as adults, you're going to affect the second generation. And I see that really this group up here, these homegrown missionaries, if you will, looking at the second generation. I hope that you understand that God is working in your life and has a plan and purpose for your lives. And maybe you're already on the field. I thank you, you've been on the field and you're retired. I thank you for your faithfulness. There's a lot of individuals who aren't faithful to finish well, to endure out and to live a spiritual life and continue on sharing the gospel, ministering to others. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought a diversity to the the church. And Lord, I pray that you would make us uncomfortable, because that is a reminder of our sin. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember what it means to share the gospel with others. Lord, as we've seen some of the needs in Romania and the individuals who are marginalized and who really the gypsies, no one wants to go to in Europe. They think that they're lower class citizens. Thank you for Luke and Kim Warner who are going there. Lord, I thank you for those individuals who are in Thailand. And we know that there are many who are debauched. Those individuals who really have lived, you know, alternative lifestyle, we might think, oh, I don't want to be around those individuals. But yet when we have the Spirit of God inside us, you give us that love to be able to care about others who might look different from us. Thank you for Nate and Ma'am for their willingness to serve there. But you know what? There's others in the U.S. who have a similar background that God may bring into our lives. Help us to be willing to show the love of Christ to them. Lord, help us those who maybe are from different countries. You know, we have a lot of immigrants, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter what our political view is, but God has brought them. And as we think about those individuals who we encounter, Lord, it's foreign missions that have occurred right here in our backyard. Are we willing to talk to them about spiritual things? Lord, I pray within the context of the local church that there is a diversity of individuals who are serving you with diverse gifts, but yet submitting to the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because when we submit to the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is the central focus of this text, when we submit to Christ in our lives, when we have the Spirit of God working in our lives, then we are willing to live a life that is contrary to our natural nature. That we're willing to go to that, maybe that restaurant or that place with those individuals that we don't know. Talk to people who we might feel uncomfortable with. Lord, I could tell you stories about individuals who are willing to feel uncomfortable. Lord, I'm thankful for different ones who, I remember the golf scramble and people who would bring others to that scramble. And Lord, people who show kindness to those who maybe were from a different country. I pray that you would help place within us a spirit of willingness. And it doesn't, not in our own strength, but Lord, I pray that you would place within us the power of the Holy Spirit to reach out to others. Lord, maybe there be someone here tonight who says, you know what? I've never thought about the Great Commission. I thought it was only for missionaries, and I thought it was only in other countries. But Lord, I've never considered those around me who don't know Christ as a personal Savior. And there's people that I believe that God is going to place upon your heart when you're sensitive, when you're aware of that. And maybe you're here tonight and, you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I just encourage you to consider those who God has placed in your lives that need the gospel, that need to know the good news, that need to understand the consequences of sin, and that they would place, maybe that you would speak to them, talk to them, invite them over, go out to eat, be willing to maybe eat something that you've never eaten before so that you might show kindness. And that you would have the opportunity to share Christ with them. Would you do that this evening to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life? I pray that this conference might transform us, that it would really be a reminder that First Baptist Church cares about those who do not know you as a personal Savior. Thank you for those individuals who have been a testimony to us. And I pray that you would use each one, use us individually to glorify you as we serve within the context of the local church. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.